Hey, we're back with another Bald Move TV. I said we're going to have more. Joining me in the studio, I'm Aaron, being joined by my partner in podcasting, Jim Jones, and my partner in life, Cecily.
Hi.
Yeah, back-to-back popes. Didn't know you were getting back-to-back, because we didn't know we were getting back-to-back popes.
Yeah, weird. Why do you think they're dropping two episodes back-to-back?
I heard that in the European broadcast, this was aired as one ginormous episode, which makes sense because it sets up... As someone on the forums pointed out, it sets up this like nice bookend where you have the scenario where the Pope in his dream gives this speech that everybody just thinks is amazing.
Parts the clouds. He delivers this message of unity.
And then in the end, he actually does this really hateful,
the complete opposite
shitty speech that makes everybody feel bad. And then he brings thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
So like I think that's – but I don't know why they just didn't do that. Like, just air it back-to-back at HBO, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. They usually push the format.
Especially since they spend... Like, I would almost say, like, well, maybe they're just trying to dump it. They don't think the young Pope is going to be anything. But, like, man, they really heavily advertised this. So, I don't know. Maybe they just fucked it up. What's everybody think? Let's gauge the pulse of the room. What's everybody think of the second episode of The Young Pope?
Very good. Very, very good.
Yeah,
very good. Very good.
It's good. It's good.
Very good.
Very good.
All right. So that's the podcast. We'll see you guys for episode three. Real talk. I significantly like this less.
I think it downshifted for me too.
Maybe. I can see where you're coming from, but. I don't know about significantly.
I think it jumps from like this fantastical thing with all of these dreams and strange imagery in the first episode to this episode. We're seeing a lot of people's failings and Pope Lenny's insecurities.
Yeah.
And
yeah. He's becoming more of a real person and less of a caricature.
Right.
So that's Pavlov's Bell is the person that mentioned it, the bookending nature of the way it was supposed to be aired. And I guess. If I'm a showrunner and I want to have that bookend effect in the first 2 hours, you got to do it this way. But I found it hard to understand why Lenny would alienate everyone, including Sister Mary, which I thought that was going to be the central conceit of the show, the fact that, you know, Sister Mary's going to have her allegiances tested and Lenny's going through this voyage and she's not going to be sure who to back. But, like, she found that the Cardinal Moleface has a son or a relative or just a patron that is this disabled boy that he's spending all of his time at, and that affected her. And then Lenny decided to just be a dick to her for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think he thinks that she's conspiring against him or something like that. There's definitely
some
self-doubt there. Well,
unlimited trust in her in the first episode to this.
Well, he got a report from, what's his name, the confessional friar, who said she was visiting this person in his room, the brother type character, and that when she talks to other people, she refers to them as we, which upset him.
I'm not saying they didn't. It was a completely out of left field. I'm just saying it happened so quickly. It makes me think that Lenny is a lot more unstable than I would suppose. Like a man that's unstable. How I'm even more curious at how he got to be Pope.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to figure out his motivations, and that's part of the show. You know, he hides everything from everyone. But I think one thing was clear to me while watching it is that he didn't like the fact that people were questioning his authority by including Mary and you know, her including herself in this popedom, this popeship. So he just immediately squashed that. Like, people were talking. People were saying, oh, Mary's part of the popehood here.
The good ship of Lollipope.
I'm going to see how many other ways I can call them a pope-type unit.
Pope unit?
So that's why he had this kind of super fast flip-flop, is because he wanted to just make sure everyone knew. And I think it's dumb of him. I think people are going to realize, oh, he obviously has his spies here in the Vatican, and we need to figure out who those are, and we need to watch what we say around people. Like, Voiello or whatever his name is, Mole Man, is going to figure out who he can and can't talk to, and the Pope's going to have a harder time controlling him. Or yeah, even fucking
I like how they developed his character, because, you know, it's clearly now, you know, as he's begging for forgiveness from the disabled kid about what he's going to have to do to save the church.
Yeah.
But it's totally understandable, because Lenny giving that speech is just... I was shocked at... I mean, I kind of knew it was going to be something crazy, but I was kind of shocked at how poor it was.
The speech itself.
It almost
yeah.
came across as like, you know, because the Cardinal Mole Man, I thought, wrote, from what little I could tell, a speech that was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he threw that out.
Right. Even Sister Mary begrudgingly agreed that it was really well-written speech, so he just needed to buck both of them.
I think
right.
so.
And then
yeah.
him begging, was it a genuine attempt to beg Spencer to write his speech for him? Because he knew it would have the tone that he wanted.
And then when Spencer said, go fuck yourself, now he's left with...
his own thoughts.
Which,
right.
which
are terrifying.
Not, which are terrifying and not particularly artfully delivered. Because I'm
yeah.
sure there's a way you could do a fire and brimstone Pope speech without it seeming like it's just... like it's not just that it was bad in content, it was bad in form. And I think that's intentional, but then I'm left because I thought I was watching a show where this guy's going to be this flamboyant, manipulative, supremely in control, little finger type Pope.
I think you are, though. I think you're watching that show. I just think the consequence of him hiding everything from the public, like his image, he has no public image,
right.
just doesn't exist, is that he doesn't know how to talk to the public.
Huh.
So, like, he can deal with people one-on-one and he can manipulate them and knows how to figure them out, but as
when
a mass, as
the
public, the
whole...
he's no fucking clue what he's right. doing.
That's an interesting thought, and I need to process that. But what, honestly, that whole thing with the speech and some of the other stuff came across as, like, in an episode or season one of House of Cards, when Francis had that scandal where he got called out on the education thing, and he started doing the ABC talk, and it just...
right.
Like, there's a way to write a politician having genuine meltdown and a public embarrassment moment. That's not the way to do it. And I felt like there is a way to write this guy... doing the things that I think they're wanting, but they could be doing something else with it. I just felt like it was a particularly poor way and so inartful. And since 90% of why I'm watching the show is the artistry of it, it kind of brought me up short. I mean,
okay.
Contrast that with like, and also like, I was really unprepared for his dealings with, what'd you say? The James Cromwell?
Spencer.
Cardinal Pig.
Cardinal
Babe.
Cochran.
Cardinal Cochran. There you go. I just felt like him just flipping over into this wounded little boy act, which I'm not even sure if it's an act.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he genuinely seems like there is some psychological wounds there. And then the judo flip they did on Sister Mary, where the redhead kid comes in and calls her Sister Mary, and she goes, "Nah, call me Ma." What the hell?
What's
yeah.
that to your theory?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Especially since that seems like he would be the most favored child, but he seems to be, pardon the expression, the redheaded stepchild of the relationship. He's gotten shunted off to the side for some reason.
Well, I mean, you're on board with this not being his biological mom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Clearly.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to be sure about that. Cause...
And there again, there's another piece of symmetry that they set up. So, you know, it's this whole two-episode set is like this kind of winding dance
right.
around each other.
Right.
And you find out, oh, her actual son is this other guy who I thought might have been Woody Harrelson in the first episode, where you see him from a distance out walking.
Yeah.
Speaking of corrections... I have a correction to make.
Hmm.
This guy, this laughing guy, not from the Big Lebowski.
No.
Oh, really?
Not from the Big Lebowski.
Okay.
No, no.
He just has a funny laugh, huh?
He just has like the same laugh, yeah.
Wait a second. You said Sister Mary's actual child. Do you think the...
Yeah, the redheaded kid.
Is her real child?
Because she tells him to call her mom. I don't know.
No.
Wait a second. By the intrinsic property, you cannot say...
Right.
You cannot make that conclusion from the inverse of the previous statement.
But it became clear to me at some point, and I can't remember the exact words they used, but it became clear to me that this was her actual son. They both viewed Lenny as family, but Lenny was not an actual like biological son. Maybe adopted.
He's like a Tom Hagen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
That's the impression I got.
Because it's funny because I had the opposite reaction. I'm like, oh, well, this is entirely a metaphor or there,
oh boy.
There's actually something. Because, like, why would you have a – why would she take in a kid that's her actual child in a nunnery in a – well, not a nunnery, in an orphanage.
Sounds like my argument to you last episode.
I know.
I'm confused, too, at this point.
I know.
Point.
Yeah. I'm
– It's a complicated thing.
Yeah. I do like the idea – The Pope is trying to be like cultivate this mysterious, almost prince-like marketing by by withholding his image. And
how do you market that? I wonder how she's like, going to market that.
For example, Daft Punk and Banksy, two great examples of he listed one example like Stanley Kubrick. The guy pictures a Stanley Kubrick fucker.
Yeah.
You might be throwing around pop culture references, get it right. But, you know, I mean, it's a good point. Like, sometimes, like, you know, half of the hysteria around Banksy was, like, who the hell is he?
Right.
So, now, I find it hard to believe that this guy has not been photographed. And that he's been buying photographs. Like, with what money when he's, like, the bishop of some...
Congregation money.
Diarchies or whatever they call their...
Yeah.
Diet cheese. Cherry diet cheese. I don't see, like, you know, like, if you're a pope, I imagine you can sling around a couple million dollars. And also, there's going to be a point where someone's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to take your photo and I'm going to run with it because, just because I'm spitting in the face of power.
Yeah.
So, if
right, but, you know, then you if have you go killed. To those lengths to have your photograph removed from anywhere and someone says this is a photograph of you, how do you prove that?
If there's only a photograph?
Yeah.
If
you can't, like,
someone
place
took your picture
them.
Without you knowing and you
well,
show
first
it
of all,
your
when you're wearing
and that person, and that
when
person,
you're wearing
God,
pope robes, your argument is a little bit stronger.
I doubt he was wearing pope robes
right,
at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, now, like, you know, are you saying no one in a Vatican City is going to be able to covertly snap a photo of him?
They've all got iPads and iPhones.
Like, my God, if he just hang his mug out that door for 1 second longer in the pilot, you know, everybody would have swiveled because everyone's got their cell phones out taking pictures.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that's part of his I think if I read between the lines correctly, he's going to shut down the Vatican to tourists.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Seems like that's where he wants to go with this thing.
How are they going to make money? Wow. Just straight up donations funneling into the church? Because, like, they're shutting down marketing. Like, they're not really going to have marketing so much, certainly not with his face on it, maybe just this silhouette.
That's what I say.
Pope.
I could see you could easily do a marketing campaign around, you know, the Pope of no Pope.
They're going to get into kangaroo farming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kangaroo hide.
Yeah, let's talk about that. There is just a fucking kangaroo roaming the gardens in Vatican City.
So there's a couple things because, you know, Dan Harmon's been on an Australian tour and he's making all these jokes about what a menace, I guess, kangaroos are.
They're dangerous.
And if you see one up, like.
Did you see how buff that thing was?
No, yes. Because Dan Harmon started talking about this. Like, if you look at a kangaroo, like you know, the giant kangaroos, not the little wallaby stuff. If you look at a big kangaroo, they look like an old man who's done a full round of steroids.
Yeah.
They're just ripped and shredded, weird, kind of hunched forward.
So many muscles, they can't rest their arms.
Yeah. They're like, they're vicious sons of bitches. Like, I thought the joke was going to be that kangaroo just comes out and starts.
Punches him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tears the robes off and.
Like, puts him in a headlock and uses powerful hind limbs to eviscerate him, and that's it.
But it's just roaming the gardens now.
Is that
this
a real kangaroo? Because I think it's a little CGI.
It was CGI coming
or
out
maybe
of the box,
Muppet.
But I think a couple of shots definitely look
like when
real.
When he comes over and just catches its eye in the bushes, I'm like, that can't be a real creature.
Right. It might be a Muppet.
Yeah.
It might be a Muppet, just a guy's hand in there.
Is the kangaroo going to talk?
It might.
Like, I almost.
Maybe
when
it'll
I first
be the
saw,
voice of God. Maybe God will
speak
to him through
like
the
serpent. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I can see him.
Oh, in the garden. Of course.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying, like, when I first saw that kangaroo, I'm like, I bet at some point this kangaroo's lips move and he starts talking.
Yeah.
He's going to be the voice of, oh, Lenny, you can't do this.
Also,
kind of like the dog. Kind of like the dog in that. Ryan
the
Riddle,
voices,
the
yeah.
voices. Now, Lenny.
Who just ships someone a kangaroo? Also,
yeah.
Just,
how did they?
The
how
prime
did they
minister,
get a
kangaroo?
The
Prime Minister of Australia, I guess.
Oh, it was a gift, right?
Right.
I thought,
what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, just release.
No one ship kangaroos to the Bald Move Studios.
Oh, that's, now we're going to get five.
Don't ship. Yes. People, this is my plan. Don't ship. Do not. Whatever you do, ship a kangaroo here.
We're just going to release it into the wild, the Red Bank. Like I said, this was a real curveball because I thought I knew what I was getting, and then they completely knocked. I felt like this was a long sequence of them knocking me down.
They also, you know, him welcoming out the kangaroo who calmly walked out seemed like a miracle to everyone who was watching.
And yeah.
Sister Mary just kept saying, "You're a saint. No, you're a saint," throughout the whole thing. I'm sure that only fed more into the fire of him thinking he could just improvise a speech that got everyone amped
well
up.
And you know what, the fact that after he condemned the crowd and says they're not worthy, the fact that a storm rolled in, I think that's as effective. Like, we talked about how effective it would be if you did, like, raise your head to the sky and the clouds parted. Like, that's some Old Testament stuff too.
Not to mention he's looking like the fucking emperor in silhouette here, like,
right. Yeah, Jude Law vamping up there in shadow was pretty effective.
It was.
His speech sucked. His speech sucked and was terrible.
Probably my favorite moment of the whole episode is the laser pointer moment where he's like, stop it! Stop it!
So, yeah. Like, so, how dare you paint the Pope with a laser? Right. Yeah. That's just weird. And why did he have his speech notes, the little kid from Texas, asking him about how to believe in God? Because he gave,
I mean, that was the whole thesis of his speech. He said, how do I believe in God? And he said, it's not up to me to do that. You need to do it.
So what was he? Don't lead little Timmy to it.
Right.
But why was he, when he said, he was given an answer during the kangaroo part about, like, imagine everything you like, that's God.
Right.
Like, did he just decide in a moment that, like, you know, like, fuck that. I'm not going to help people approach God, and I'm not going to approach people.
Yeah, I think everything that he went through with Sister Mary and Spencer.
Right. He could be a little disillusioned with Spencer turning on him.
Yeah. He's had prophetic dreams.
But why did he think that Spencer,
like, the speech in his dream in the beginning?
Sure.
Where he says, you know,
kind of regressive to go back to episode one, but what, you know.
You know, where he talks about we have to be open to gay marriage and we have to be open to masturbation and all of those things.
Yeah.
That was his dream, right?
Right.
And those clearly don't seem to be things that he agrees with, because when that,
the poor gay Pope.
The cardinal, or the poor gay cardinal. Gay, suddenly he just couldn't be in the room with him anymore. He got so uncomfortable, he pressed the button.
But is that his genuine thought, or is that what he's trying to do to...
Right.
Like, is that his...
I mean, he didn't treat it like a secret that he's going to use against him later.
Mm-hmm. No, he's just getting, like, you can't be a you can't be training priests anymore because you're gay. But is that his... Is this going to be essentially
really,
well, and they talk about his sexuality and the fact he's got none. Like, I wonder, like, are we seeing a deeply closeted Pope? Or are we seeing a Pope that is not closeted in the sense of his sexuality, but just the fact that, like, his humanity has been closeted? Like, is he the arch conservative Pope, or is he the ultra liberal Pope trying to get out? And
it's a good question, and I don't know that we have an answer yet.
And maybe, like, is he like the Batman of popes? Like, the liberal pope is the pope people deserve, but it's not the one they need right now?
Because I thought that initial speech, like you said, was his, like, inner thoughts.
Right.
And that he couldn't act on those inner thoughts. He had to be a pope and say these other things. Now, like, I'm not sure. That might be one of his worst fears. Like, oh, maybe I get up there and I accidentally say something like this.
Right. And then also, I forgot what I was going to say.
I got to say, the girl who comes in to when he presses the button has a better excuse. At least has an excuse.
Like, oh, and then he asks, yes, it's my snack. That's what she calls it.
Right.
Which, like, okay.
And he's just like, that's the excuse. It's time for a snack. Is it really that urgent? Yeah, that was great. That was great, because that was the exact feeling I had.
He needs to be a little bit slyer about hitting the button. He can't lean over 6 feet and fumble for it. And
I feel like
it gives an audible buzz, too. Every single time, it gives an audible buzz.
Oh,
it's very slight, but you can hear it.
I think that's exactly what he wanted. He wants you to see him slowly reaching for the button.
He did, but I feel like the person who built the desk should have put the button closer to the chair.
Yeah. Well,
closer
to
the middle.
But wait a second.
And then it's easy to just press it on accident.
I thought he was shining on the gay priest, too.
Uh-huh.
But his reaction made it seem like he was embarrassed that it was made very artificial, the reason that she came in there.
Right.
So it made me think, like, he didn't intend to just, like, you know, fuck this guy off. But I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough because he does do the slow reach. He does the slow pope reach to the button.
But, yeah.
The same way he did with Voiello while he's looking at him. I mean,
right. But all except for he had a look of like almost fear. He had a different like a look of fear and disgust on his face.
Yeah.
Do you think that guy knows the button's there and what it's there for?
That's a good question.
In his time?
Probably.
The button's probably never been pressed on him before.
Yeah, probably not.
Right. That's, yeah. Yeah.
It's a difference. Voiello definitely knew.
Yes.
Is there anything else need to... What do you think about Sister Mary's I'm a virgin, but this is an old t-shirt t-shirt?
I think she's got a...
You're gonna wear that in the Vatican City?
Yeah.
What do you think is the story behind the redhead?
The redhead? The kid?
The one is a cardinal, but he's like a missionary out in Africa cardinal.
I think it's a real son.
Yeah, but no, but what do you... What is... So... Is this going to be the story of people's cynical manipulation of this poor, stupid Lenny? So he's going to give this he's going to be a terrible pope so that the pope they all want, which is the redheaded kid, is going to be ushered in and he's going to be like the good pope.
I don't think so.
The old
season
pope.
Two is the good pope.
Can we go older? Can we go older than a normal pope? Like go from the young pope to the old pope?
The oldest
pope. Can we get
pope?
The like guy who's got the oxygen
and
mask?
And he's smoking.
The old pope.
Like, you got to be careful with that. That little the boy priest is helping him out. Like, he's a little bit, he's getting the oxygen and the flame
a
commingled
close.
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, get him. Like, can we have a first pope that needs oxygen all the time? He has to have an oxygen mask. Like the Pope Mobile. It's not a bubble to keep gunfire out. It's actually a hyperbolic chamber. Or hyperbaric, not hyperbolic.
Hyperbolic.
Jude Law is in a hyperbolic chamber. This guy's in a hyperbaric. I don't. Yeah. I,
all right. I'd watch the old pope.
Yeah.
The old pope.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. I feel like I've been watching the old pope all my life.
That's true.
Right.
Okay. I don't have much more to say. I'm still in on the series, but this was a significantly less fun episode. I thought maybe more absorbing and cerebral,
spots, yeah.
But. All right, there you go. Bald Move TV, TV at baldmove.com if you want to talk about the Young Pope or any of the other things we're going to be talking about going forward. We'll see you next week, at least for the Young Pope, and talk to you then.